There's lots of analogies that you can use, and one of them would be that weather is the clothes you choose to wear today, and climate is the wardrobe that you have in your closet. So what you need to cover the whole spectrum of what weather can dish out through the seasons and over the years. So the weather is the now and what's coming up, and the climate is the whole range of possibilities that we've seen for many years of past experience.
Jennifer?
For us, we really focus in on the first 7 days of the forecast. But there are different parts of NOAA and the National Weather Service that do some climate prediction, looking out up to 14 months in advance, and give people kind of an outlook of what to expect. But primarily in the National Weather Service forecast office, we are looking at from the starting point, the minute we walk in the door, giving a very detailed forecast for the first 24 hours and additional information out for the next several days.
Matthew?
I'll say, as a broadcaster, climate doesn't matter as much, you know, getting that information out to the public. It's really the weather that's happening right now. Climate becomes useful when you compare whatever the weather is to whatever our climatological weather is.
And what's the general weather and climate for Southern Colorado here?
Wow, that's a broad question,
Jennifer.
Because we have a little bit of everything. We have winter weather, we have severe convective weather,
thunderstorms. What does that mean?
Convective weather is thunderstorms, and severe, we define that as thunderstorms that have 1-inch diameter hail or larger and or produce wind gusts of 60 miles per hour or greater, or it can be a tornado-producing thunderstorm. That could be severe thunderstorm as well. So, you know, we just run the gamut here in Southern Colorado. We can have a mix of all three types of weather on any given day. We can have the mountain areas of our forecast area having a winter weather event, the plains maybe having a fire weather threat, and then some areas of the plains perhaps having severe thunderstorms. So it's a very, very complex setup for forecasters to deal with, and oftentimes you get anything and everything on any given day.
Matthew?
It's extremely diverse down here. We have our banana belts, which we often talk about, one of those being the Upper Arkansas Valley around Salida, Buena Vista, which, because of their location, their climatology is going to be just a little bit different. You know, they're going to average less snow and warmer temperatures during the winter than places just barely outside, a few miles outside these towns, even around Canyon City. You know, that's a more difficult place to forecast for me, simply because it's a little bit closer to the mountains, but it kind of sits in an area where it's shadowed a little bit, in some cases with snow. Then you've got the eastern plains, which are going to be extremely diverse too. So to pinpoint and to make a blanket statement about what the weather or climate is for Southern Colorado, in one word, diverse.
Nolan, what goes into making it such a diverse area of climate in Southern Colorado?
Consider the distance that Southern Colorado is from the Pacific Ocean. That's the primary source of winter moisture. And there's a whole lot of mountain ranges upstream, and often a storm track that is not favorable for bringing Pacific storms to Southeast Colorado. But when things are just right, the Gulf of Mexico is still a long way away, but it's closer to Southeast Colorado than any other part of Colorado. So when conditions are right, the slow-moving storm spinning across New Mexico, pulling the moisture up across Texas and Oklahoma, packing it up against the southern front range, voila, the ingredient for very big storms, some of the time, dry most of the time. And of course, so it's those very factors, the high elevation, the complex terrain, and the distance from the moisture sources of the Pacific and the Gulf.
So let us expand a little bit more on this terrain.
For forecasters dealing with the mountains and analyzing storms that come over the mountains, there's always the concern of how much moisture is going to accompany a storm system, how much of that moisture is going to be wrung out as it crosses the mountain ranges, and how much is going to be left once it comes across the plains. Another issue with the rapid changes in elevation, like the Palmer Divide on the north side of El Paso County, you have the Rampart Range and Pikes Peak to the west. Then on the east side of El Paso County, the terrain is much lower. And then as you travel further south in El Paso County, you're going downhill as you go into the Arkansas River Valley. So all of those things have an important role to play as we have a storm system in the area. What prevailing wind direction is going to impact the area? If it's coming from a northerly direction, we know the Palmer Divide's probably going to get some precipitation, maybe some snowfall if it's wintertime. If it's an easterly direction, then we might see a little more snowfall across El Paso County. So it's just extremely, extremely difficult to forecast for. In addition to that, the numerical and computer models just do not handle that terrain and that change in terrain very well, because their resolution, the scale that they're at, just cannot resolve those changes in elevation.
Yeah, you know, mountains can act as a shield. Moisture coming in directly from the west, we all know west winds all over the Front Range of Colorado are downslope winds, and that means that moisture has a real tough time making it over those mountains. And if we have strong enough westerly winds, it actually dries us out. On the flip side of that, an easterly wind is the exact opposite. Particularly for El Paso County, a southeast wind typically brings us a little bit more moisture for the opposite reason. All that moisture, low-level moisture, comes up against the mountains, can't quite make it over the mountains, so it just kind of pools in along the Front Range. That could produce anything from low clouds, fog, to snow. That's some of our biggest snowfalls have come from easterly winds. What's sometimes frustrating and sometimes it's very difficult to forecast exactly where that wind direction is going to come from. Any slight change in that wind direction can throw off the forecast quite a bit, especially in the wintertime with snowfall.
Well, we're thinking, because it's still winter, we're thinking in winter mode, but the game changes as you get into summer. And every day, the ingredient for storms is present in that there's the mountain areas, the high elevations heat up fast, convective updrafts form early, and the ingredient that is the most key ingredient to whether something happens or not ends up being whether we have moisture available. And often beginning around the first, second, third week of July, something happens, low-level moisture increases, and daily thunderstorm activity develops. And we don't see the same patterns in northern Colorado. Watching these summer convective patterns where the storms are very isolated, but yet where they begin to form is totally affected by that topography. What I pay particular attention to in southeast Colorado, northern New Mexico, is the infrequent but nevertheless always present opportunity for extreme rains. From really May through even late April through early October, the potential is there, but it's strongest in July, August, and September for the incredibly intense localized storms. There are historic records of up to a foot or more of rain in less than a day. And with the terrain that you have there, the consequences can be grave.
Just following up on that, you're right. We are still kind of in winter mindset, but here before too long, we're going to be talking more and more about thunderstorms and preparing for severe weather season. And what I like to tell people is that we need three basic ingredients for thunderstorms to form, and that is a source of lift, so lifting that air, a source of moisture, and instability in the atmosphere, meaning that if the air is lifted, it wants to continue rising. So just having that mountains there, that topography, you already have a source of lift to get thunderstorms beginning. And sometimes we can just have meager amounts of moisture in the atmosphere and still have thunderstorms develop. They may not produce a lot of rainfall. And in those cases, they may produce lightning. And without that wetting rainfall, then we have some fire weather concerns or fire concerns as they maybe ignite fires on the plains or even in the mountains. So it's always an interesting setup here during the summer season, and certainly flash flooding, thunderstorm producers are a big threat and a big concern, because also with our interesting topography, when we have that heavy rainfall, it's going to run downhill. It's going to fill up the creeks and streams very, very rapidly.
With that flooding, the flip side is the fact that we've been dealing with drought. Talk a little bit about the drought that's happening in southern Colorado here. Nolan?
Well, first of all, drought happens. You look at the historic records, and we have data from southeast Colorado that date back to the 1870s. And drought defined as well below average precipitation for anything from a few months to even a few years, happens on a not a predictable cycle, but on a very regular basis, so that rarely do you go more than 20 or 30 years without a really major multi-year drought. The drought that we experienced last year, 2011, was a part of this incredible, intense drought from northern Mexico all the way across New Mexico, eastern Arizona, and practically the entire state of Texas. And while it dropped off abruptly as you got north, you had to get north of the Arkansas Valley before you got to that transition line to more normal climate conditions. There's a lot of concern that this drought is not over yet, but we don't have much skill in making long-range predictions like that. But the one thing we know is we rely on the precipitation that falls from the sky, and that precipitation is extremely variable. The difference between a very wet year and a very dry year will be perhaps a factor of four. Kind of a rule of thumb for the Great Plains is that your wettest year could easily be double your average, and your driest year will be less than half of your average. And yet we as human beings want the same amount of moisture, but nature doesn't work that way. So drought is a part of this cycle.
Well, if it's a part of a cycle, as you're saying, then how does this current cycle that people are suggesting that 2011 is a part of this cycle compare to previous significant drought events in the area?
The drought of 2011, possibly continuing, although not as severe right now, is surprisingly, as severe as it seems, is still fairly easy going compared to the drought just a few years ago in 2002, one of Colorado's driest years in recorded history. And this drought period, as significant as it seems, is relatively short compared to the droughts of the observed past, of the 1950s, which lasted about 5 years, of the 1930s, which lasted nearly a decade with a couple of sharp interruptions and to squeeze in some major floods as well. So again, it seems cyclical. It comes and goes, but yet it's not a predictable cycle. So I cannot tell you what's going to happen next.
It can be localized too. And some of the factors that we look at may even be a little misleading in some ways. For example, last September, you know, El Paso County at the official recording location, which is the airport in Colorado Springs, picked up 4.5 inches of rain, I believe, something like that.
It was over 5.
Over 5, yeah. Wow.
Unbelievable. So obviously for the yearly total, since that's the official climate location, it's going to look a little bit better. It's going to make the year's rainfall record look a lot better, because that accounts for about a quarter of our normal climatological precipitation for the year. Other sides of the city that didn't see that convective precipitation are going to still be in a pretty powerful drought. Keep in mind, of that 5 inches that fell too, a lot of that just ran off. And so we didn't see the benefits from it had that moisture been spread out over a couple weeks, per se. So even though last year didn't end up as bad in Colorado Springs on paper, except for, you know, those couple days in September, it was still a pretty dry year. Pueblo, of course, didn't see that. And so the drought persisted there quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer?
One of the alarming things about last year was, in our office, as we're doing forecasting and looking at the upcoming weather, we always expect some fairly strong storms in the late winter and spring months, and we did not see that last year. And I think that was particularly alarming, and that's when we really identify this is a very dry situation. We're going into the warm, dry summer, without the benefit of having that spring snowstorms or that spring moisture that we normally expect.
Nolan, as the climatologist for Colorado, what are the multiple factors that sort of go into the changing climate and the what do you sort of see for Colorado in the future, and where are we now, and potentially nationally and worldwide as well? That's a really big question.
I was going to say, what a question that is. But I'm very accustomed to answering questions, or at least facing questions, not always answering them that well, about what the future looks like and what the past has taught us. And we've always thought that our past data that we've tracked, and again, for Southeast Colorado, 130, almost 140 years of data in a few places, gives us a pretty good sense of how it varies from year to year, the wet periods, the dry periods, the hot episodes, the cold. But do we know for sure that that's how it's going to unfold into the future? Well, we don't. We know that computer models based on projections of ever-increasing greenhouse gases suggest that warming is a part of our future. And I'd very much like to be able to confidently tell you how that's going to play out. I don't know for sure how that will play out, but I know to a first approximation that the summer that you experienced in Southeast Colorado this past year, 2011, would be very likely a normal summer just a few decades from now if these computer models are anywhere as close to correct, and that we'll see more of those very warm and perhaps very dry summers. And it's a little bit disconcerting. But do I know that for a fact? No, I don't. I just know that that's the most likely scenario from the best of what we think we know about the climate and our ability to model it. But I need to say right away that climate variability, the year-to-year changes, are what affect us the most. That 1999 to 2002 transition was huge, and its impact on society, on agriculture, on water planners was huge. And that's going to always be a part of our climate, these variations, because that's how the system works. It's not stable.
Jennifer, I see you nodding your head.
Well, I think, you know, my background is that I'm a meteorologist. I'm not a climate scientist. But the conclusion by many climate scientists that have examined this is that we are warming. The global temperature is warming. And I think, like Nolan said, I just echo that. We really don't know how that's going to evolve. We have to examine these things as they evolve with time and keep analyzing the data, keep improving our computer models, keep improving the data that goes into the computer models, and do our best from there.
There's so many factors that go into it. So to make a blanket statement is really tough to do. The good thing is our ability to forecast long range is getting better. There's still a long way to go. But climatologically, with the data continuously changing, I think the biggest difference probably in some of the temperatures, I believe, that I read up on, especially around Colorado Springs, you know, we're seeing our overnight lows pretty much across the board a little bit warmer than they have been climatologically. Short term, how is that going to affect us? You know, there's so many factors that go into it. So it's more of a wait and see type approach. In the meantime, you know, we're going to do our best to give you a good short term forecast.